The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms.
It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins. Guys, Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by the virtue of the journeys and stories and experiences and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. Once again, this week is no exception. Today, we're going to talk about love hacks. And what I mean by that is simple solutions to your most common relationship issues. This is good for guys, it's good for women, it's good for anybody in a relationship, whatever kind of relationship you may have. Good stuff. My special guest is a new guest to Guys Guys Radio, Kelly Miller, LCSW, best-selling author of another book called Thriving with ADHD, the workbook for kids. And I really am looking forward to this conversation because I think the book is a nice little action-packed, very utilitarian guidebook that anybody can access very easily, and it covers all of the key areas of problems and issues in a relationship, whatever type of relationship. It could be when you're first meeting, when you're dating, when you're in a relationship, within your marriage, but more about when you're in a relationship. And we get into areas such as, here's a chapter: my partner doesn't listen to me. How often have we run into that issue where one person pays attention and the other one doesn't? And I think that could be the number one issue for any relationship where both people aren't communicating the same way or giving the proper respect to their partner in terms of really hearing them out and being open-minded and open-hearted and really listening. So we're going to get into when one partner doesn't listen, or maybe both listen, but they're not listening properly. We're going to get into arguments. And you know how it is. Today's day and age, we get into arguments over the littlest things. And when you're in a relationship, you can relate to this. You know that things can get blown out of proportion very quickly, and a lot of underlying resentment can come bubbling up to the surface. And before you know it, you started out with a discussion about leaving the cap over the toothpaste, and the next thing you know, you're in World War IV. And that's something we want to avoid. So we're going to get into that with love hacks. Another one is we don't make time for each other. And we're in a busy world. Everybody's doing their own thing. And I always say that, you know, two people in a relationship have to grow independently and then bring stuff to the relationship. And everybody has to have their own lives, and as well as having a relationship. But a lot of times, we have so much stuff going on individually that we don't make enough time for our relationship and our partnership and our partner. And that can become a real issue. So we're going to get into that and so much more. And it's just at Valentine's Day time of year, it's a perfect time to discuss this. And yeah, I wrote a blog in my website, robertmanny.com, about Valentine's Day, the day that everyone hates, because it just seems so forced in so many ways. You get into Valentine's Day where, you know, who was Saint Valentine's anyhow? What does he have to do with relationships? Or maybe it's a she, or whatever. But what do they have to do with relationships, and why are we sending candy hearts and chocolates? I can understand flowers. With the card industry, there it's a lot of making money. You go out to dinner with your partner, you get overcharged on Valentine's Day, and it becomes a pressure-filled day also because, you know, usually the guy wants his partner to have some special kind of lingerie or something. And if you buy lingerie for a woman, they might not want that. That's really, you're buying that for yourself when you do that. And it gets into a really tricky, tricky communication there because, you know, what does a woman get a guy for Valentine's Day? A lot of guys that are interested in flowers and they want the lingerie. And then the woman's feeling, well, I'm getting the lingerie. It's really for him. So maybe it works that way. And the guy's like, well, I'll get her the flowers. But it can unravel very quickly, and it puts a lot of pressure on people in relationships. I know with my own personal relationship, my my wife, her birthday is right around Valentine's Day, so I get the double dip. Like, what am I going to do for Valentine's Day, and what am I going to do for her birthday? But we managed to work it out. We plan it in advance. We don't go out on Valentine's Day. We either go out the weekend before or the weekend after. This year, we're going to go. I'm going to get lobsters from a Korean market that we like to go to. Bring them home, cook them, and we're going to have some lobsters, and for her, some champagne. I don't drink, but we're going to have a nice time at home. And I gave her the choice: you want to go out, you want to get lobsters, what do you want to do? And she wanted to stay home. So that's cool. And I wanted to take the initiative, but I also want to do something that she would enjoy. And I think really that's when you get around Valentine's Day, that's what it's all about. You want to do something selfless, do something for the other person that they can enjoy. That's one little special day with relationships that gets sometimes volatile and combustible, and that's Valentine's Day. I think the way to look at it is really has to be, you know, dating and relationships should be fun. And anything you can do to add some fun and kindness and love to the relationship, just make it happen, regardless of how things are laid out. You know how it is with the holidays. All the holidays are so manufactured and commercialized these days, including Valentine's Day. Just drop that notion and think about what can I do for my partner that they'd really appreciate. And it works out. And I know for me, it all evens out because I have my birthday is right before Christmas. So when my wife takes care of me for that time of year, she's got the double dip because got my birthday and then Christmas, and I've got the double dip with Valentine's Day and her birthday. So that's a perfect example of how things can even out, things can all work out. So we're going to get into all types of those common issues that we deal with each and every day in our relationships. Our special guest, first time on Guys Guys Radio, Kelly Miller, and she's put together a really terrific book that has 15 different issues, 3 potential solutions for every issue, very user-friendly, digestible, smart, common sense. We're going to get into areas today in our discussion about what happens when you have kids if you're in a long-term relationship. Why does one person sometimes get resentful if the other person doesn't do enough chores? Dealing with money, maybe dealing with an addiction, maybe falling out of love with your partner. So we're going to get to all of that here on Guys Guys Radio with my very special guest, Kelly Miller. The name of the book is Love Hacks, Simple Solutions to Your Most Common Relationship Issues.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It's Guys Guy Radio.
Okay, Guys Guys Radio, it's time for the interview portion of our show. And welcoming in our YouTube and Rumble viewers to the show. And we've got a very special guest. Today, we're going to talk about relationships, all the issues that relationships have, and also love hacks. My special guest is Kelly Miller, an in-demand psychotherapist for individuals, couples, and families. Kelly specializes in relationships, and that's kind of a foundation of Guys Guys Radio. She's been the host of All Things Relationships on Balanced by Nature TV, a co-host on LA Talk Radio, a relationship expert on Sirius and WikiHow.com. She's contributed to national and regional publications as a sought-after speaker. And the new book is called Love Hacks. So today's couples, they want solutions. And, you know, therapy is important, but they want it now. They want it fast, just like everything else. And so Love Hacks offers simple, effective, quick tricks, if you will, that address the most common relationship problems anywhere, anytime in the quick fix era. So I welcome to the show, the first time on Guys Guys Radio, Kelly Miller, LCSW. Welcome to Guys Guys Radio.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, I guess relationship problems never go away, but I love the fact that you put together a book that's right in the times where it's fast, easily digestible, and common sense common sense action that anybody can take in a relationship, even if it's one partner, these tips work. So let's start out with kind of what's going on in relationships right now. Over 50% of people over 50 are single. The divorce rate is over 50%. And people just don't know how to get along. And they're easily distracted, I think, nowadays. So why do you believe it's harder now for couples to work together than even 10 years ago, Kelly?
Sure. I think you nailed it. There's so many more distractions today. That makes it really hard for us to connect with our partners because our phones are dinging. We've got emails to check. We just don't have that quality time that we used to with our partners. So I am a big proponent of when you are with your partner or your loved one, just put your phone away, put the distractions away so that you can really have that eye contact and focus on each other. So I think you really nailed it. It's just we're just so distracted today and we don't have that quality essence that we used to.
I think I learned the hard way after a series of relationships that ultimately didn't work. But I always think in a relationship, if you have some time together, cherish mm-hmm. that time, embrace it. And then if, you know, yes. ultimately it doesn't work out forever, that's okay. Sure. Not everything has to be forever. I got a lesson when I went out with my wife. The first, we went out about three times and I said to her, you know what? I've been in a lot of relationships and they haven't gone as long as sometimes I wanted them to. And I want to be a good boyfriend and I really like you. What can I do to do that? And she put her fork down. We were having dinner and she said, pay attention.
Wow.
And I said, anything else? And she said, no. So talk to us about being present, the importance of that and paying attention. Sure. It rang in my brain up till this day. And I always have to keep reminding
myself. Sure. Well, first, I want to commend her for stating what she needed, which I think is great, right? I think a lot of times we're kind of scared to say what we need, but that woke you up and she was advocating for what she needed. And she saw something between you and thought, okay, this could really work, but I need to state what I need. We're not mind readers with our partners. So I love that piece. But yeah, I mean, I think we do. We need to focus in on each other, what we're saying. And in Love Hacks, I talk about there's the issue of my partner never listens to me. And there's a real difference between listening and hearing. And hearing is involuntary, right? We hear the dog barking. We hear the doorbell. Listening is intentive, right? You are focused on your partner and what they're saying. So a lot of times people think, oh, well, I'm hearing my partner, but you're not paying attention to what they're saying. They don't feel seen. They can tell you're maybe listening, but they're not feeling like you're getting what they're saying. So it's super important that we take that time. And another tool or hack that I say in the book is we need to ensure this communication. We need to sit down and say, hey, wait, is that right? Did I get that right? You know, and make that time to communicate and get what your partner wants to communicate with you.
Got it. My special guest on Guys Radio, Kelly Miller. We're talking about the book here, Love Hacks, Simple Solutions to Your Most Common Relationship Issues. And I think what's brilliant about the book is you broke down 15 common occurrences and have three alternate solutions that work together or can work individually. So would you mind if we got into some of these issues? Number one is what I'm hearing is listening. We just got touched on it a little bit.
Yes.
The I versus you statements, which is kind of like also kind of whataboutism. When people have a kind of a disagreement, they get into, you know, you're not listening to me. You did this. Maybe I did this, but you did that. I run into that sometimes still. What is the solution for that? The listening issue.
Right. So what typically happens is partners use the you statements. Like you said, you did this, you were late. So immediately you're blaming your partner. And what happens is people feel shut down. When they hear the you and they feel blamed, they're immediately shut down. So what I talk about in Love Hacks is using I statements, right? Where we get vulnerable and say, hey, I feel sad that you were late. That lands so much better on our partner's ears because it's about what we're feeling, not what they did, right? They don't feel shamed. They don't feel criticized. It's like, oh, my partner feels upset about what happened. So it's a really simple shift, but it'll make things so much easier with your partner. Not just one really quick hack.
I love it. Here's another one. We argue too often over little things. And little things, as we know, Kelly, can become big things very quickly if there's some inner resentment or some type of something percolating beneath the surface. So you talk about calling timeouts like we do for the kids sometimes. And I thought that was really cool. Like, can we come back to that argument we're having and a little bit because of it's getting a little bit frenzy and heated. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, sure. So I think when people think of timeouts, they think of something punitive, right? I did something wrong. And it's not about that. It's really about, hey, let's recenter. We're dysregulated, right? We're heated, we're angry, which happens. That's okay. It happens in all relationships. We get frustrated. But it's just recognizing, okay, when I'm dysregulated, it'll be helpful to have a timeout from this. We're both going to calm down. And then again, we'll both be more receptive after the timeout because we're both clear-headed versus angry and frustrated. So yeah, I recommend, you know, a few hours of just taking a break when you start to feel heated or you notice your partner's heated. And you reconvene after that, after you've gone for a walk or settled, and then you have that conversation in a much more fruitful outcome because you both are calm again.
Mm-hmm. I've had an issue on my own where I've tried that technique before reading the book, and it didn't work. My partner just kind of ran right over that and wanted to keep going. Sure. And was not hearing that. So what would be your advice if you are trying to implement the timeout? It's got to be a two-way timeout. Absolutely. You can't, it's not like in football where you call a timeout and that's it. Both partners have to be willing to call, okay, we're getting heated now. What can you do if your partner's all riled up and doesn't want to take a timeout?
Right. So my first piece of advice is establish these rules before things get heated, right? So yeah, not during the argument of like, hey, you know what, I was thinking about it. No, this is neutral ground. Hey, I've been thinking about it. I think we can communicate even more effectively. And one way is if we have timeouts. And let's both agree that when one of us calls a timeout, we're going to respect that, right? This is not a rejection. I think what you're describing with your previous partner was she felt rejected by that. And so it's, again, making note of that. This is not about rejection. It's actually the opposite. It's us coming together again. And so we just need to make a commitment that if either one of us calls a timeout, we're going to adhere to it. And again, this is not a break from this conversation entirely. This is just a break for now, and then we'll come back and talk about it. So I think it's getting that buy-in from that partner and understanding, and then saying to them, I'll do the same for you. At any point, if you feel ready to take a timeout, I will respect that.
That sounds very fair. I will try that. And if I run into that again, sex, the overarching sex issue. Now, as couples go along over time, of course, there's usually a lot of intimacy up front when people are getting to know each other and the thrill of intimacy, physical intimacy is great. And then over time, and especially if you have a kid or something, like sometimes the dynamic changes in a couple's relationship. Maybe the guy wants more sex than the woman, or it could be the woman wants more sex than the guy, or guys as they age sometimes have issues. So how do we navigate that? What are your hacks for that, Kelly?
Yes. So it's very normal for sex to ebb and flow in a relationship. So it's the first thing I want to say. I think people think like, oh my God, you know, I'm worried. No, it's normal, right? There's going to be times where you're going to be having more of a libido than less, times of stress, of course. So that's the first thing. But I think where I get concerned is if it's been diminished for a long time, or if one partner is really unhappy with the lack of sex. And so I think the first thing to look at is there a resentment? Oftentimes when couples come into my office, I mean, that's really what I'm hearing is this emotional piece of I'm hurt by something my partner did. I'm angry by something my partner did. And there's nothing like resentment and anger that kills libido more. So the only way out is through. And so we really have to get underneath that emotional piece for the person to feel physically comfortable again. So that's where I would look kind of first emotionally. And then you're right. After, you know, been together for a while, of course, it's natural. It's not as exciting. So we need to bring back some of that excitement. And what I recommend is adrenaline-filled activities. Do something different. Rock climbing, roller coaster with your partner, or even if it doesn't have to be scary, you know, just something new, woodworking, something to bring back that newness will help.
I think that's fantastic. My special guest on Guys Guys Radio is the amazing Kelly Miller. The book is Love Hacks. Money. Money is another issue in relationships where you can share the same values, but you might have different money behaviors. Maybe one partner is really knows how to manage money better than the other, or manages it in a completely different way where somebody, you know, people think money is energy. And sometimes they work with it differently. One person could be a spendthrift, the other person could save. Mm-hmm. And that can create, if you're not on the same page there, that can create serious issues. What are some hacks to fix that?
Yes. So I think you're right on. I mean, I see that a lot where one is a spender, one is a saver, and it's like, how do you do it? So the main thing I recommend is we need to sit down and talk about each other's goals. I mean, I think a lot of times partners just come together and it's like, they don't even talk about, hey, what are our long-term goals? What are our short-term goals? So I have an acronym that I developed called CLOSER, right? And so C is communicate and collaborate about, you know, these goals. L is like list those goals, right? So is your short-term goal, you know, to have a vacation, and long-term goal is to save on a house. O is like organizing these things, right? How do you sit down and let's line by line do that? S is like setting expectations, right? Like how much can we afford, and can we, you know, maybe we can't go on the Bahamas vacation, but we could do like a weekend getaway. E is envisioning. So what do you both envision as a unit, as a couple? Because it could be different independently. And then R is revisiting those goals later, so we can kind of do this. And then 6 months, let's see, how are we doing on this? And I think that's kind of the first start, is establishing some of that structure. I think people are so afraid to talk about money, so taboo, but we need to really talk about it in order for things to be together and a unit.
Yeah, it can be challenging. And I think communication, two-way communication is so important there. We touched on this a little bit with the sexual issue, but after kids are born, it can affect the sex life a little bit. I think everybody would kind of agree to that for a period of time. But also your family activities, the activities, your lifestyle changes. I know when my son was born, I stopped playing golf, basically, right, because I figured I'll pick it up later in life again. And I loved it. I played like all the time. And golf can be a relationship killer, because when you go out to, if one partner plays golf, you're gone for the day, because you play a four hour round of golf, and then you go to the bar and you talk about every hole with your golfing buddies. And then by the time you get home, it's like you want to eat or something. And you know, your partner might say, hey, you know, you're not there, you're not present. Now, when you have kids, it changes, because then you have the kids' schedule. There's so much stuff going on. How do couples maintain the kind of the we time when you're doing so much for your child or children?
Sure. I think what happens is the couple is no longer the priority, right? It makes sense. The kid is now the priority. So we need to bring back that the couple is the priority. Both can exist, right? The kids can be priority and the couple, but we need that strong foundation. I am a huge proponent of date nights, and it needs to be scheduled. We can't let this relationship just go by the wayside. So I always say to my couples, one person plans 1 week, the next person plans the next week. And then if there's an element of surprise, the partner doesn't know, oh, what are we doing? And then it's not on one person to plan. But I think that's essential. And then going back to those activities that you loved as a couple, right? Let's say you started dating, you loved ice skating, or, you know, scavenger hunts or whatever that is, and bringing some of those back. And I know it's hard to get a babysitter. So, you know, get creative, right? If you have friends with kids, hey, I'll take your kids one night. You do you know, we switch, or, you know, just hiring like, you know, a local college kid who can kind of help out or whatever it takes. But I think that we need to make it essential and a priority again.
Okay. Let me throw you a little bit of a curveball in that. I've interviewed a lot of female dating coaches and relationship coaches, and to a person, they've all said that women want men to be men in the best sense of the word. You know, confident, not arrogant, comfortable in their own skin, respectful, fun, funny, and be proactive, come up with ideas. Because in today's dating landscape, I think what can happen is the women are now long overdue acknowledgement and recognition in the work they're doing. And sometimes they come home and it's hard to turn off the type A switch.
Yes.
What's your advice to, and this is not for necessarily married couples, but just couples in general, maybe new couples who there's a changing dynamic in the workplace. It's always evolving, but it's happened very quickly in the past 20 years, long overdue, but a lot of stuff has happened fast and it's changed the dynamic. And you layer on that, the technology of online dating, where it's created a situation where men can become lazy. Yes. And they can sit at home in their tidy whiteies and meet beautiful women online. They can. Right. That's just the way it is. So then they have a type A girlfriend who's like working it all day at work. She comes home. She has some ideas what she wants to do. He comes up with some ideas. She's like, well, let's do this instead. And the guy just sits back and figures, well, I'll let her
be in charge of everything.
And right.
That doesn't work though, because ultimately the woman is going to say, what do I need him for? He's not bringing anything new to the party. So that's a big, I'm throwing a big one on your.
Yeah. I mean, there, I think you are right. It is an issue. And I think the women in this scenario that you're describing need to step back a little bit. There's a lot of masculine energy that you're describing of women who are working. And so it's like, okay, we need to put that aside and let the men have their masculine energy and you just sit back for a little bit. So my first advice is for the women to just, hey, sit back. Like everything's going to be okay and letting go of some of that control. Because what I'm hearing is a woman who's like, I'm scared. If I don't plan this, it's not going to happen or it's not going to turn out right. And it's like, no, you've got to let go of some of that control and be okay that it might not be what you envision, but to allow the man in this relationship to feel purposeful, because that's a huge part of it, right? Mm-hmm. And then they feel good and they're taking care of their partner. So I think that's the first piece. And then I think that second piece is that, yeah, it's important for the man in this particular scenario to step up and to do that and to say, hey, you know what? You planned a lot. Let me take care of this. I got this. Right. And then that way the woman can sit back and, okay, I'm taken care of. He's got this, right? There's that confidence you were talking about.
That's fantastic. Great advice. How about, you know, I always think, Kelly, that couples benefit when both individuals, both partners have their own interests and have their own education and are continue to learn and grow as a person. Mm-hmm. Or grow as people and then bring that into the relationship to fit in however it may fit in. Now, maybe one partner likes to make sourdough bread and the other person likes to eat it, but that's cool. They're both bringing right. something to a relationship and appreciation, and also somebody's doing that. But uh-huh. it seems to me that people have to have their own lives, even if they're in a couple.
For sure. Oh my gosh. I can't recommend this enough. I mean, you need to be comfortable with you first and foremost, obviously, you know, we hear that all the time, but I think it's sexy to see our partner have a passion, right? I mean, there's something exciting about that. I mean, that's kind of what drew us in the first place, right? We see our partners, they're thriving. And so, right, you don't want to get lazy in that or lose that. I mean, that passion is sexy. So I think if you can view it that way, that helps.
Now, another kind of big overarching issue to any relationship, we touched on it briefly, but I think mm-hmm. it's so important. That is kind of anger and underlying resentment that can build up over time. And often, yes. and correct me if I'm wrong, Kelly, what can often happen is the guy's oblivious and he doesn't know that his partner is resentful. Uh-huh. And then right. he gets blindsided and dumped. And he's mm-hmm. like, what happened? And then he figures it out, but it's too late, because even right. if he's going to fix it, it's over. Because when the woman says that's it in many sure. instances. Talk to us about that, the whole anger resentment thing. What mm-hmm. creates it? What are right. some of the telltale signs? What can yeah. guys do to pay attention and realize, hey, sure. I don't have a happy camper on my side here?
Yeah. So I think it's a two-part process. And number one is kind of what you said at the beginning. I loved that your wife said that to you. She knew, hey, I need this in order for this relationship to work. So we can be proactive. So if you're recognizing, hey, I'm not getting something from my partner, please speak up before that resentment happens. So state, if you notice, oh, you know, my partner's distracted. Okay. It's now time for me to say, hey, you know, I'm noticing you're not paying attention as much. You know, would you mind giving me that undivided attention? So that's the first piece. But if it's too late for that, I think then you talk about it as soon as it comes up. Like, hey, you know, it's been several months and I've noticed that, you know, you're just distracted and I'm just not feeling that connection. So you talk about it as soon as you can so that it doesn't build and build and you don't stick your head in the sand and hope that everything's going to work out. Or a partner should know. I hear that a lot. Like, well, my partner knows me well. He should know or she should know. No, our partners are not mind readers. So you have to communicate that. And then it's forgiving, right? I mean, we have to remember we're not perfect. Our partners are not perfect. We're not perfect. So if you do have this resentment brewing and your partner is remorseful, it's time to forgive and say, okay, they're not perfect people and it's okay to let this go and see that they can improve going forward.
Now you mentioned paying attention and also putting the phone down. So yes. social media is so prevalent in our lives. Depends on your generation, but it's still mm-hmm. everybody, once they get addicted, they're addicted. And we are carrying around this addiction with us at all times. And it can become an issue from not paying attention, or yeah. some of the behavior that people have you know, you got a little, for a guy, if you're a guy, you've got a little porn device with you at all times. It's called social media, and you can get a lot of it on there. And there's a lot on the flip side. There's a lot of people flaunting themselves on there too, looking for the attention. There's no shortage. It's incredible. Yeah. So yeah. How do couples manage the social media? Because, you know, what if the guy's taking a little peek at the pretty ladies on there and she catches him? Just, that's not cool. And that can create a problem. And it's like, well, I'm just looking at the menu, honey. I'm not,
Right.
There's like a lot of problems that can happen in there. And of course, social media can be a great tool and can help us reach people and make connections and rekindle old connections of friendships and so forth. What's your advice in terms of how couples can manage the social media landscape?
Sure. So I think a lot of people have different boundaries around it, right? There are going to be some people who have no issue. There are going to be people who have a big issue. And so again, that is a conversation that I highly recommend that you have with your partner of, hey, what works for us? Does following influencers, is that acceptable? Does reaching out to an ex-partner, is that okay for friends? I mean, these are really tough conversations, but I'd rather partners talk about it right away rather than kind of wait and see. And then if there is a concern of an overuse of social media in Love Hacks, I have a social media questionnaire where is it impacting the relationship and where couples can do that or even individuals can kind of take this test to see, okay, wow, there's an addiction here. And I didn't realize how much is impacting my relationship. So that chapter is really dedicated to that because I think it is, unfortunately, a big issue amongst relationships.
You know, when it comes to online dating also, there's a lot of mixed signals there where people meet online and they start going out and then people are they keep dating. And it's kind of a natural thing. And maybe one partner is like not dating. I got caught when I was my wife came online. She had a free, her sister said, go online, three free days on Match. And she winked at me and we met and that was it. But after a while, we were together for a couple of weeks and she said, I see you're still online there. And I said, well, if you saw me, then you're online too. So I say touche, but anyhow, I thought about it. And I said, well, what is your thought? And she said, well, why don't we just go out with each other? And then if it doesn't work, you can go out with whoever you want and I'll do the same. And I thought about that and it made such sense where people juggle relationships when they're single so much where it's hard to not do that. But it's important that you don't overindulge, that you, so many people dive in the deep end of online dating. Yeah, I'm sure you deal with online dating issues all the time. So talk to us about
that. Yeah, I mean, I think that there's so many options out there. It is so hard not to get overwhelmed. And then there's this, you know, what's behind door number two? Door number one looks great, but like what's behind, you know, and we can get so intrigued. And so I'm a big proponent of start with one person at a time. It doesn't mean you have to be exclusive, but I think it's just really hard to focus on multiple people at once. I mean, it's like, wait, where are you from? What, you know, you get it all mixed up. So I think if you can just start with one person at a time so that you can put all of your focus there and then see, and then, okay, I like this person or I don't, or I want to continue. And then, cause I think multiple dating is just very difficult and complicated.
My special guest on Guys Guys Radio, Kelly Miller. The book is Love Hacks, Simple Solutions to Your Most Common Relationship Issues. We're covering a lot of ground. So thank you, Kelly. You also have a term, the fast food communication method. What is that all about?
So if you think about when you go to a fast food drive-thru, the employee reads back your order and says, okay, you got fries, McFlurry, and it's even on the screen, right? So they are ensuring that communication. I want to make sure I get this right. And I want partners to do that same thing within relationships. I want there to be that assurance. But yes, I heard what you said correctly. So what I teach couples is after there's some sort of topic to say, reflect back to your partner, what I'm hearing you say is. And then they reflect back. And so not only does this ensure that the communication is accurate, but it also validates the partner right away. The partner feels heard. Okay, you heard me. They're not immediately defensive. They're not trying to, you know, prove their point. They're actually taking that moment from me. I brought up a concern. They're reflecting back. And that makes me feel seen and heard. So it's really simple, but it's so effective.
I've got to think though, you need to be careful and how often you deploy that, because you might be accused of, you know, like, you're patronizing me now. You keep saying that.
Right.
Repeating what I said.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's almost like you're right. I think like one time might not be, you know, they might not notice it, but you're right. If they're doing it repeatedly. So I think it's just, and maybe it's just stating, hey, I want to make sure that I get everything you say correct. So you might be hearing me repeat back. Right. And then that partner, oh, okay. They're trying here. And there might not be that negative view.
Now, trust is a big issue, and I guess trust is connected to cheating. But let's talk about trust first. How do we create trust in a relationship, and what happens when trust is broken?
Yes. So trust absolutely has to be earned. That's for sure. So it's not like a magic button, right? So what does that look like in a relationship? It's doing what you're saying. It's following up on your actions. It's all of that so that partners can start to build that. Oh, okay, they said they're going to meet me here. They did it. They said they're going to work on this issue. They're doing it. They said they're not going to go online dating anymore. They're not, right? And so that's how that started it is. And then if it's broken, which often occurs, it's, you know, I have like a 5-step process with either infidelity or the broken trust. And that first one is to take accountability. So if you messed up, you own that, right? I am so sorry. You know, I cheated on you. You are taking full responsibility. Then you express remorse and you talk about how sad you are. You know, I am so sorry. I really messed up. You acknowledge the harm. You know, I realize that I've damaged this relationship. You commit to change. You know, this isn't going to happen again. And then you request forgiveness. And again, that's requesting, right? You're not demanding. I mean, this is going to take time for a partner to learn to trust you again. And those steps will help.
Who do you find, kind of a random question, more forgiving, the men or the women?
Ooh, that's such a good question. I feel like it's half and half. I've seen both. I have seen really tough women and I've seen really tough men. So I'd go 50-50. What about you? What have you seen?
I think it's all depends on what the definition is of cheating. And I think for men, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kelly, men think cheating is physical.
Yeah, for sure.
That's it. If you're doing something with another guy physically, that's cheating.
Yes.
For women, I think often it can become, if you're sharing emotional intimacy with another woman, that's cheating.
Right.
And it's a little bit different. Of course, they're not going to want their guy physically cheating, but in a way, the emotional aspect is equally as important as the physical cheating, and sometimes with women, because it's a different type of closeness, but equally important.
For sure. I think you make a really good distinction. I think you're right. I think the women are more attuned to, okay, is he having an emotional affair? That feels deeper to me than the physical piece versus, I think you're right, men, it's like, you know, it's just, it's more cut and dry. But both are hurtful. I think that's the takeaway, right? Both can be hurtful. And so we need to work on the repair if that happens.
What is your overarching advice for couples? You've worked with so many different people. What are the top three issues, and what is the advice that you give people, the way you work with them to address these top three issues?
Yeah, I mean, so the top three are in Love Hacks. And I think the first one we touched upon was really that listening, right? My partner's not listening to me. And so we talked about the fast food communication rule and the I statements. I think that's going to be key. The other one is, you know, we're not having sex anymore. And so one thing that aside from the resentments is one thing I teach couples who haven't had sex in a long time is something called sensate focus therapy. And that's a type of therapy that doesn't focus on orgasm or finishing. And, you know, it's more about, hey, what is this experience like? What's the sensations like? Let's connect with our partner on a physical level where it's not about the outcome. It's just about the present moment and kind of coming back to that. And I think that helps a lot where, especially couples who are maybe afraid to sort of embark on sex again, it feels scary and overwhelming. So that's a really easy way to tap into that. And another one that we haven't touched upon, which I hear quite often is like, I do so many more chores than my partners. I hear that all the time. And so to me, that's a really simple hack of let's create a chore chart. Let's, you know, and we'll alternate every week. You know, week one, you're cleaning the toilets and this, and then week two, we switch and we can make it fun. We can make it exciting. Let's put the timer on and for 30 minutes, let's both do our chores and then come back and see who finishes first. And, you know, you can do all sorts of fun. And I wrote that in Love Hacks, like of ways to make it more exciting. It doesn't have to be this dreaded thing. It's like, okay, let's work together as a team here, because we are a team. And, you know, we can make our dwelling the most clean and fresh, you know, place if we work together here.
Yeah, I think, and correct me again if I'm wrong, I think with the chores, mm-hmm. guys are taking on a lot of chores that maybe their dads didn't take on. Like, I don't yes. remember my dad doing the dishes. My wife's a great cook, and she cooks whatever she feels like. I'm like, if she's into the moment, it's going to be good. So whatever she wants to make, fine, because she's cooking. Yeah. A lot of people don't want to cook, and she's a way better cook than I am. So I figured there's a lot of plates going on. She's Korean, so she makes all different types of stuff. I'll do the dishes. So I do it. But uh-huh. Sometimes I'll get like, well, you didn't do the dishes good enough. And it's like, uh-huh. well, maybe you want to do them. But right. yeah, I think sometimes women need to be mindful that, okay, the dudes, if he's vacuuming and cleaning uh-huh. the toilets and doing the dishes or whatever, you know, sure. there's going to be a learning curve there.
Yes.
Yes. And at least he's doing that stuff, where some guys are like, you know what, I have enough money. I either get somebody or I'm just not going to mm-hmm. do it. And yes. My value is the money. So how do you address the whole chore thing?
Yeah. Sure. I mean, I think you bring up a super valid point. I think we need to appreciate our partners for their efforts, right? It's not about the outcome. And so what you talk about is kind of like that nitpicking, right? Like, you're not doing it as well as I would. And so I talk about that in Love Hacks, where I don't want there to be any criticism. There needs to be appreciation of like, oh, thank you so much for doing the dishes. And then if as a partner, you don't love the way that they did it, that doesn't need to be said. You can either redo it or you switch tasks. Like, hey, you know what? I'll take over the dishes and you vacuum, right? So, because again, once somebody feels criticized, they have no incentive to continue doing it. So to me, positive behavior begets positive behavior. So let's encourage our partners. Let's, you know, talk about how much we appreciate it, and they're more likely to do it. And then again, like, you know, for the person who kind of wants that control and doesn't feel like their partner's doing it the right way, it's letting go of that, of, hey, this is not going to be done, you know, to my standards, and that's okay. It's, if it's 80% good enough, that's great. And that's where we have to leave it.
And it sounds like also that if you can fall into this organically, because some people gravitate to some stuff more than others. Like,
yes,
I don't mind doing the laundry. Well, that's an easy one anyhow, but I don't mind doing that. And you still, you have to dry it and fold it and mm-hmm. all that stuff. I'll do that. And the vacuum, I don't feel like doing the toilets necessarily, but somebody's got to do it. So I think people have to be flexible. And sure. if they can find a happy medium where he likes to do this and he or she likes to do that, that's cool. And if not, you have to have the communication about, okay, who's going to do what and how often and kind of how do we, you know, because some people just leave stuff everywhere. Some people yes. are neat and some people aren't neat. And that right. can create another kind of living circumstances. Is that, right. have you come across that as an issue? Like one person's a slob and the other person's like super neat and that becomes a wedge?
Yes. Oh, for sure. And so, you know, one thing I talk about in Love Hacks is this thing I call like the emotional investment scale, right? So how emotionally invested are we in something? Because one partner might be like, I'm, you know, 1 through 10, I am at a 10 where I need this house, need, I can't function, versus somebody else maybe like, yeah, I'm like a 2, like I could put things away. It's not, you know, and yeah, okay, I can see you're more invested in keeping the house neat versus me just kind of throwing my socks on the floor. So I recognize it's more important for you for this house to be neat. So I think we need to kind of meet in the middle and recognize where we are in this scenario, because there's usually one who's more invested than the other person.
And you know, an old dog can learn new tricks as you go along. And if you start to discipline yourself, maybe it's something mm-hmm. you didn't do all the time. We have a fireplace. I like to have fires. I make sure I clean the fireplace after every fire, just as a point of some type of little bit of discipline so that I could carry over into other areas, whether it's changing the sheets or doing the mm-hmm. laundry or vacuuming, whatever. It's good for guys to get into the flow, because somebody's got to do it. And you can't expect women to do all of this stuff. And particularly now where one person might be working remotely, the other person might not be working. There's so many different circumstances. The flow is so important.
Yes. Right. Correct. Yeah. I mean, I think we absolutely need to. Well, I think it really comes down to, let's remind ourselves that we are a unit here. No one is winning first place at being an individual. I want you to win first place at being a couple. And so that starts with, okay, let's be a team. Let's talk about how we can do this better together. I think we forget that sometimes.
The amazing one, Kelly Miller, the book is called Love Hacks, and there are simple solutions to most of your common relationship issues. We just talked about a bunch of them, and similar to the book, fast, quick, right to the point, common sense. Mm-hmm. Kelly Miller, tell everybody about where they can find out more about you, because you have other books and other work, and also your website, and where they can pick up Love Hacks.
Yes. You can find me at Kelly, K-E-L-L-I, MillerTherapy.com. That's my website. My Instagram is the same, Kelly Miller Therapy, same with Facebook. And you can find the book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere books are sold. And yeah, I encourage people to reach out. I love hearing from everybody. And yeah, it was so much fun. Thank you so much for having me on.
Did a great job. I hope to see you again, Kelly. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
It's Guy's Guy Radio.
All righty. That was a very fast-paced, power-packed, chock-full of information interview with our special guest, Kelly Miller. We talked about Love Hacks, simple solutions for your most common relationship issues. And we covered a lot of ground from the challenges when you have social media with partners, where people can get in trouble there in a relationship pretty quickly. Money issues between partners, a huge thing. Sometimes even falling out of love with your partner. What do you do? Can you fall back in love? I guess every case is an individual case. Every case is different. What do you do when you don't feel respected? What if you're not having sex anymore? What if you want different things? Well, there's so many ways to find uncommon ground. I think what we want to do when we're in a relationship is kind of find common ground. So what did we learn today? I think we learned there are solutions. You got to use your common sense. You have to have your thinking cap on. You need to be present. You need to be open-minded, open-hearted, kind. You need to be available for compromise, and I don't mean just giving in. I mean finding common ground between you and your partner, because it's really not about winning an argument. It's about winning in the relationship where both partners are happy and want to keep going and want to build on what they have. And again, I stress it because it's important that partners in a relationship need to have their own lives and bring something into the relationship to make it better. When it's all about one person, it can create a lot of stress on either partner. So we need to be aware of that. You know, relationships can be tough. It's a stressful world. You either have too many options, not enough options. People are not necessarily in a great frame of mind these days. A lot of folks are totally stressed out. And then people change. And then you have the additional challenges of online dating, where there's a lack of trust there many times from women. That I've spoken to, and women experts on relationships, a lot of them say that the guys aren't honest. And I'm sure the door swings both ways on that, but people sometimes aren't honest, and you have to go through that. But there's never been an easier way to meet people than online dating, and it's new. So you've got a lot of options there. It's so easy to kind of just ghost people or dump them or just leave and find somebody else. And a lot of times the other person's interested and they get hurt. So we, again, need to be kind. So I want to thank my wonderful producer, Chris, who always has my back here on the show, my strategy lead, Ryan. And I also want to thank my special friends out there, the audience, all you folks out there. Thank you so much. I'm super appreciative of your following the show. I'm going to see you guys next week. And until then, like I always say, guys, finish first.